Luke 9, 28. And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Glistering. I never even knew glistering was a word.
That's a new one on me. It's a King James-ish.
And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Okay, from reading those, what's the one difference in the ones we read yesterday in Matthew and Mark? Anybody know? No, just from what we've read so far.
Did not say he is the quote what God said while.
No, just that little in the first verse. Just in verse 28. And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings.
8 days.
Right. What was it before? In the other two. It was 6 days. In the other two.
It's interesting. They call it and 8 days.
Well, that's just it. That's not what it said in the Greek. That's just the King James playing around. But the point of it is it seems like a contradiction. This is one of the many contradictions that I found that if I was going to throw the whole thing out if I found contradictions. And the problem, the issue is that Luke is talking about a different thing or a different saying, and Mark and Matthew talking about 2 days later, or 2 days earlier. So it's after these. No, 2 days later. After these things, or after these sayings, or so. Anyway, that's not important. And it came to pass, and that's what we've talked about many times. It's genomai, and it means if it's translated as it came to pass, then something momentous is about to happen. If it's good, it's very good. If it's bad, it's very bad. So that's sort of a tell to pay attention when it says it came to pass. After these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And I don't want to go through all those others. So let's get the fashion, the word fashion. Fashion is just eidos. It means that which strikes the eye or is exposed to view. And so somehow this new way of seeing Jesus was exposed to view. And it's used in the different... Well, let's look at them. Let's look at Jesus. Let's look at Luke 3.
Would eidos be related to end?
Huh?
The end?
No. A different language. In chapter 3, verse 21, this is at the baptism. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove. And so the Holy Spirit wasn't a dove, but it had a bodily shape as a dove. And so it came in the fashion as a dove. That's the first time the Holy Spirit exposed himself as a dove. But it wasn't a dove, it was a fashion of a dove. So again, it was what's exposed to the eye. Then in John 5, we'll see some other things. And that's important. Well, I'll talk about that in a second. In verse 31, he's he's talking about here the Son's relationship to the Father. And he said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not my testimony, not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his sight. But I have greater witness than that at John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, his fashion. So that looks at it negatively. No one has ever seen the fashion of God. So we got that one? Now let's look at disciples. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, whose house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight, not by eidos. Now that's the difference. That's why we say always that you look through, you see through, you never look at. We walk by faith, not by the need for eidos, the seeing of it. Amen? But everybody wants to see it. They want him to come and boom.
The idea being that, like, the transfiguration happened, but didn't, like, always happen. It wasn't like...
Amen.
Jesus wasn't always listening and whatever.
Right.
Although spiritually, that's his real...
That's why we see through and not see at. Okay, go to 1 Thessalonians, just to compare this idea. 1 Thessalonians. This is a scripture that's quoted all the time. Let's start in verse 17. Pray without ceasing.
Chapter 5.
Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, what do you leave out of giving thanks for? Oh, you leave out being any suffering. You leave out anything you don't like. If something happens you like, then you give thanks. No. You give thanks for everything. And that's because what we give thanks for is not by sight. You understand that? It's not, we're giving thanks not for anything that we can sense with the senses. Everybody wants to sense with the senses. That's why charismaniacs are so popular. Because they have a feeling of sensing with the senses. But then they have to go back 3 days later to have another fix. That's a biggie. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good or has passed the test, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now the word appearance is eidos. What is that? Does that change this anyway? Abstain from the eidos of evil? What appears to the eyes. No, but the problem is most of the disciples and all of them, in fact, at most of their walk from that which the Gentile or the flesh saw, they were evil. So they didn't abstain from that. So what does it mean? Abstain from all appearance of evil.
It's probably evil in all of its many manifestations. It determines what you, what is the evil. That's the problem.
Right.
With the,
it's a conundrum, because let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 a minute and we'll see how that fits in. Chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Everybody there? All the major Bible scholars?
I'm there.
Well, I knew. I keep saying, Ronnie, you're our principal example. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now, he always makes us to triumph in Christ because we have no problems, there is no suffering, we never lack for money. No. He always causes us to triumph. But man wants to cause us to triumph after the sight, after the senses. Can't happen. So what's next is refers to what we just read in that appearance of evil. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death, unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? So here, we find, well, we could go all over the place. You will be hated of all men. So therefore, all men will think what you are is evil. You will be, you're a savor of death unto death to a whole raft of people. And so that by that they'll think you're evil. So what does it mean then? We're going back. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Okay, that's your homework for Monday. See if it can be discerned. Because that's another apparent contrast.
Apparent what?
Conflict, I mean. Abstain from the appearance of evil, that everything you do to the Gentile world is seen as evil. I hope. All right, let's go back to Luke. Okay, what's your homework, Ronnie? Word appearance. Abstain from all appearance of evil. What does that mean? Well, it's not to be addressed now. It's to your homework, because you couldn't answer it before. Okay.
Where is the scripture?
1 Thessalonians 5:22. We'll get there.
I think it has something to do with the
scroll. We're not going to talk about that. We're just giving everybody's opinions. I want you to search it out and have a scriptural basis for it.
I don't need homework. I already need homework.
Call me.
I need them.
That doesn't happen very often.
I need no homework.
I want to come back Monday and see what the answer is.
What I always do is find the guy in class who actually will probably know the answer and then call him later when I'm doing my homework to find out what the answer is.
All right, Luke 9, verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Countenance is a Greek word, prosopon, which just means the outward appearance. But altered is a major, major word. It's heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S. And we spell it in English. Heteros. And it's one or something that's not of the same class or order. And so his appearance was altered. So he no longer looked like a human being. He looked like something different. And we'll see why in a minute. But I want to spend some time on this word altered. Let's go to Acts 7. This is in Stephen's speech of his defense in the Sanhedrin. He's giving the history. So starting in verse 11. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was food or corn or grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brothers or brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money from the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time came of the promise drew nigh, which God had shown to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose which knew not Joseph. And this is the same in Exodus where it says there came a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. But here the word is, it's different. It's this word, the same, heteros. In other words, he knew not Joseph because I am convinced that the line of pharaohs after Joseph changed. And they were the Hyksos dynasty, and they were Jews. But then a pharaoh arose who was not of that nature, not of that same bloodline, not of that same genetic structure, that knew not Joseph, and that's when the problem started. So this word, heteros, which I never even thought of applying to that before, is really defines it. Because it wasn't just that he didn't know him, it was that he was a different order. Amen? You understand that? Now you'll see it clearer in a couple other places. Let's go to Galatians 1. Verse 6. Everybody there? The ice machine is there.
Flip on, flip on.
I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The word another in verse 6 and 7 is heteros, an altos, one not of this. It's not just heresy, it's another gospel. Amen? All right, now let's go 1 Corinthians 15. To see how it's used here. Because this word's important.
First, there's the gospel of Christ and everything else. Is that pretty much how that's
happened? Yeah, but the gospel, that's why he said it's a confusing statement, because there's the gospel of Christ, which really is the cross, and then there's all this other crap. And so he's saying it's not another true gospel. It's not a true gospel, but it's another gospel. That's something else.
Yeah, the first another is heteros, like you said, and the second one is just like another one. So it's not just another extra one.
Right.
Be applied along with this one.
Right. The point of the word used there is that it's totally and completely different from the gospel.
Yeah.
It's not just a little bit different. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30, blah, 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 blah.
Where are we now?
1 Corinthians, chapter 15.
Verse 30?
This is where he's talking about this other thing, the different, something different from another. So, let's just start in verse 41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised.
It's not my phone. That's not my phone. I don't even have my phone.
That was a 21st century amen.
And I got like one of those cheap ring companies.
Anyway, let's see.
41.
We're going to read through verse 41. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star different from another. But I think I missed what I wanted to start at. Verse 39.
Uh-oh.
All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Now, so the whole idea where it says flesh and blood cannot inherit. Then let's go. We got to read the whole thing. I'm sorry, because I screwed up and didn't write down the exact word that heteros was used at. the first man in verse 45. There's and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The point of it is that, and I can't remember which word, but the idea is that heaven, there is earthly and there is heavenly. They're not, and they can't meet each other. There's flesh and then there's spirit, and it can't be, flesh and blood cannot inherit this. That's what the word is, and I apologize for not, I just wrote down all of them and I didn't figure out which word it was.
So comment on inheritances are, I believe, always related to bloodline. You can be a long-lost relative. Your uncle dies, you get all his money because you have his blood.
Right.
So inheritance pertains to blood, save the child. It's
the only one that has the blood of God is Jesus Christ.
Amen. So in him you inherit all, but there's none of you.
There's none of you there, left.
But you get all the inheritance in him.
Well, the bride does.
Oh, yeah. It's in 40. Glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another.
That another.
Is heteros. All the other ones are just the other.
Okay. Apollos. All right. Let's go to First Timothy. Chapter 1.
I'm there.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus, which is our hope. Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace, peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And again, the no other is heteros. Heteros. And then one final one in Philippians. Chapter 3.
What chapter?
3. Verse 15. But we're going to start a little earlier now. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Oh, let's go to 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this, even this unto you. Now, I believe the word otherwise is the word heteros. So it's something that, it's a mindset other than the mind of Christ, other than empty. Amen? All right, well, that's probably enough today. We'll get more on the glistering and raiment and all that stuff tomorrow. Or not tomorrow. When do we meet next? Today's Monday. No, today's Friday.
We meet Tuesday.
What?
We meet Tuesday.
Memorial Day is a holiday.
Memorial Day is a holiday.
See, he'll be over here Monday.
National holiday.
A national holiday.
Oh, God.
He'll forget. He'll be over here Monday wondering where we're all at. And then he'll get pissed off.
Turn on, yeah, turn that off.
Take it, big guy.
He'll be pissed off at himself.